Tell it, tell it, sing it, sing it, let the joy bells ring it, o'er and o'er evermore, tell and sing the news.
Welcome to the Pastor's Heart. Dr. Craig Bush is pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Kearneysville, West Virginia. Dr. Bush has been preaching, counseling, and encouraging people since 1980. Let his 4+ decades of experience help you today. We pray the Lord will use this time to keep you encouraged in your spiritual life. Join us now as we dive into some practical thoughts and truths from God's Word.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Pastor's Heart Broadcast. This is Pastor Craig Bush, your host, and I want to encourage you today with a thought from God's Word. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 18, the Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give me thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli said unto her, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Elkanah and Hannah are married, but Hannah is unable to have children. This does happen, and it does not mean that a woman's life is less fulfilled if she can't have a child. The Hebrew women in the Old Testament took it seriously because they wanted their children to be in the lineage of Jesus. Elkanah had another wife, and she had no problem having children. But Elkanah loved Hannah more than his other wife. But Hannah, unable to bear children. Hannah actually had people or an adversary provoke her to say mean and negative things about her because she couldn't have children. By the way, we have no right to judge any other human being. We're just as much of a sinner as they are. Hannah allows this inability to have a child, though, to consume her life. She goes on the yearly trip to the temple, and she slips in to pray for God to give her a son. She promises God that she will give him back to God if she can just have a son. She is so consumed by grief over this that Eli sees her praying and he rebukes her for being drunk. She assures Eli that she's not drunk but wants a child to give to God so badly. Eli tells her to go home and that by this time next year she'll have a child. Hannah gets up and her countenance was changed. She no longer was consumed by grief. Just as Eli said, Hannah gets pregnant soon and Samuel was born. Hannah raised Samuel for 4 or 5 years and took him to the temple, and he becomes the great anointer of kings, and she kept her promise to God. There's a little statement in this passage that arrested my attention. I want you to see what God showed me. I believe it'll help you. Eli thought she was drunk, but really she was just consumed with grief. So, being consumed by grief is similar to being consumed by alcohol. Sorrow or grief can have the same effect as liquor. Let me give you a few thoughts today. Eli saw Hannah's grief as drunkenness. Why? Hannah's grief had the appearance of drunkenness. Grief, like alcohol, is not a disease. It is a choice. We can make a choice to allow it to control us, but it does not have to control us. Grief in Hebrew means vexation, rage, sorrow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, in the Greek, it is the word lupe, sadness or heaviness. Out of a normal mindset where we would call getting loopy, grief is allowing a situation to control us rather than us not allowing the situation to control us. Grief is an addiction of the mind that we choose. It is not something that we cannot control. When grief takes over, it is a judgment that we place on ourselves. Number two, what does the Bible say about grief? In Job 6:2, it says it's like a heavy weight. In Psalm 6, verse 7, it says it consumes our eyes and we cannot see clearly. In other words, you refuse to see anything but you're hurt. In Psalm 31:9, it affects our ears and our soul, our attitude, and our belly. It causes us to lose weight or to eat more. Proverbs 15:1, it stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:10, it causes hate to correction. In Ecclesiastes 2:23, it takes our sleep away and we get no real rest. And in 1 Peter 2:19, it causes us to be loopy or we don't have a right state of mind. You see, as you see what God says about grief, it's much like that of a drunk person. Sometime look up Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 25, and God talks about what a drunkard does. They babble. They have wounds without cause, redness of eyes. They teeter and totter around, and they don't remember. You see, just like a drunkard seeks the next drink, a person in grief runs back to thinking about the thing that caused the grief. Grief is an addiction of choice, just like alcohol. Number three, how do we not let grief control us? Very easily. Realize that Jesus already took care of our grief at Calvary. Is that not what Isaiah 53:4 is all about? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our grief was already paid for by Jesus Christ. Why are we trying to pay it again? There is no sense in constantly paying after the bill has already been settled. You don't need to keep thinking about and worrying about what Jesus already paid for. Allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you pushes grief away. That's what Ephesians 5:17 and 18 are all about. To be grieved is to be drunk on sorrow instead of being filled with the Spirit. You see, if you're filled with the Spirit, there's no room for grief. You can't be filled with the Spirit, the Comforter, and be filled with grief at the same time. Those two things cannot dwell together. And by the way, 1 John 5:3, we have to live God's words not by how we feel or what we see. Get into a spiritual schedule. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what God says to do. Don't miss doing spiritual things. Consume your mind with Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, grief is like drunkenness. Let's have a great day today, and let's give God a great day. From the Pastor's Heart, this is Pastor Craig Bush.
Thank you for listening to the Pastor's Heart. We hope this broadcast has been a help to you. If you would like to hear more of Dr. Bush's messages or learn more about Grace Baptist Church, visit gracebaptistwv.com. That's gracebaptistwv.com. Let's go out and change eternity today.
Tell and sing the news.